The ABC's Word Wizard, the Lord of Language, Professor Rolly Sussex with A Word in Your Ear.
Ah, yes. Bonjour, or should I say bonsoir?
Bonsoir will do.
Professor Rolly.
Good evening.
Good evening. Indeed, that's about all I remember of 3 years of French. I could probably order if I was in France and had to.
I'm sure you could. The funny thing is that when you go to a country and sort of get involved and surrounded by the stuff, you can feel it bubbling up from somewhere in the back of your mind. And
I think I remember that.
I had a lovely time last time in Berlin. I found myself using phrases that I knew I had never known before, but they somehow popped out of somewhere.
But that's one of the languages you speak, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. If I suddenly started speaking Mongolian, I really would be surprised.
Where did I get that from?
That's glossolalia, which we will talk about one day. That's people in religious cults and so on who suddenly start speaking a completely unknown language.
Oh, wow. I thought that was just more Babel, you know, the Tower of Babel.
According to some people, it actually makes sense.
Okay. Well, we shall let them have it. Indeed. Not in a bad way. I just mean let them have that belief.
I'm very sorry for this poor man of yours in Melbourne because he was not overcooked but overchooked.
Oh, well done.
Oh,
well done.
Sorry.
You
yes.
didn't even have to hang on to that very long, did you?
I was with difficulty holding on to
it. Yes. Well, the Earl of the Erudite is here tonight, the Lord of Language, Professor Rolly Sussex, and we're talking about what percentage of the English language has come from French. Where do we land on that, Rolly?
The number is 29%.
It's not a third, but it's close.
It's very close. It's a monstrous number. And there's almost as many from Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And the words that come from Germanic, which are the real roots of English, are about 26%.
Ooh, so we're more influenced by the French and Latin.
We are indeed, which is why English is relatively easy for the French to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, French is easier for us to learn than a language like, say, Russian or even German or Dutch, where a lot of the words are completely different. So the French have had a huge influence on us. But what is really interesting is that in 1975, someone did a count of the top 1,000 most frequent words in English.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the words in the dictionary, but just the frequent ones, and found that 83% were of English origin. So most of the short everyday words that we use, like am and is and are and was and the mm-hmm. and an and but, are English. But the bits of the vocabulary which build no intellectual things, you know, and quite a few others, as we will see, are a lot of them from French. And it's all due to William the Conqueror, 1066.
He conquered, didn't he?
He conquered. And when he conquered, he got rid of Harold, I'm afraid,
mm-hmm.
who had an arrow in the eye and died.
Oh, well, that'll do it, won't it?
I'm afraid that terminated.
Yes.
And so the Normans installed French as the language of the court and of the law and of, you know, Latin was the language of the church,
mm-hmm.
but you spoke English to tradespeople and farmers. And until about Chaucer, in the middle of the 14th century, English was kind of not really a very profitable language for people to know.
And so it was a class distinction as to what language you were speaking.
Oh, yeah. And we will see it coming out. So 83% of the everyday words we use are nice and short and English and familiar.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's a bit like the difference between saying they apprehended the miscreant in front of the domicile, which mm-hmm. is French words, and they caught the frog in front of the house, which is English words. Right? And there's a big difference in level of formality and so on as well. Interestingly, from 1066 until, well, in Europe at least, until about 1900 and maybe even beyond, French was the language. And mm-hmm. anyone learned French and they spoke it well. And Pushkin, Russia's greatest poet, spoke no Russian until about the age of 8 when he learnt it from his nanny. Before that, his first language was French.
Very good.
So, you know, everybody spoke French until the Treaty of Versailles in 1919, which was the one which ended the First World War, the very first, which was not written solely in French. It was written in French and English.
Ah.
And from that moment, English was on the way up and French was on the way down.
Down.
But meanwhile, French had left, well, in the first couple of hundred years, it left more than 10,000 words in English, and they kept on growing. And they cover all sorts of areas, like, say, law and administration. Mm-hmm. So the word court, you know, legal court, judge, jury, defendant, attorney, even government and parliament are mm-hmm. all French. And you know for sure that something is from French if the adjective comes later, because a general principal, but a governor general.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, general is the modifier; it's the adjective comes after. That's where adjectives go in French. Or you know, attorney general. Once again, has to be borrowed from French.
And that's why we have attorneys general and governors general rather than governor generals.
Except that nowadays people don't know that. And they think about, Governor General is a single big word and they put an S on the end of it.
Mm.
So we've got both happening at the moment.
And then we smack them upside the head, Rolly, go, that's not how it's done.
And then you get taken to court.
Well, you do, but you've done the right thing. Sometimes you've got to suffer for your art.
Sometimes you suffer in silence.
Sometimes you suffer in jail.
But think of, the royal house, you know, prince, dame, baron, duke, marquess, count, monarch, royal, sovereign, and even the motto of the British royal house, which is Dieu et mon droit, God and my right, is French.
Oh, I'd never thought about that. Oh, you know what? I assumed it was English. It was Latin.
No,
it's French.
Now, I've got some lovely, weird examples here, because when the French came along, they needed to get a legal system working, and they started using pairs of words, having an English word and a French word together, so that the English crooks would know what they were not allowed to do and the French crooks would know what they were not allowed to do. So breaking and entering.
Mm-hmm.
All right, break is English and enter is French. And breaking,
so that's why it's breaking and entering.
That's right.
So it could just be breaking or it could just be entering.
But it goes back more than 1,000 years to the early legal system of the Norman Conquest. And there are quite a few. Goods and chattels, right? Goods being English and chattels. Lands and tenements, that's less frequent maybe.
Yep.
Give and grant, right? Keep and maintain. I shall keep and maintain this property until I die. And there are even some which were all French, aid and abet. Both aid and abet are both French. And so I'm afraid in this case, the British thugs wouldn't have known what they were not meant to do. But then you've got...
But the French were well and truly told.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
But then again, cease and desist.
Yes.
This is all French. And the terms and conditions, all French again. Mm. So it was a bit of a dog's dinner. But it is really interesting that, you know, they thought that they really wanted to cover both eventualities, there's another French word, for the English and the French doing wrong things. And so they put both words in. And there's quite a lot of this. Some of the French words, by the way, in the law are really weird, like fee simple. Now, simple is the adjective is after, so it has to be French. Fee simple just means proper freehold.
All right.
You know,
yes.
You really own the thing. But it's not only the law, although attorney and judge and jury and court and defendant and culprit and bailiff and parole are all French.
Mm.
So that we'd have great difficulty in doing a legal process without using a lot of... It's called legal French as well. There's a lot of it in the books. And I don't think it's going to go away, because these words have acquired definitions over hundreds of years of use and precedent, another French word, as the lawyers say, and thereby means there is a kind of stable basis on which you can apply the law nowadays.
Mm. And yet, I must admit... Unless you and I were having these conversations, Rolly Sussex, I'd have assumed that Latin would have been far more influential.
Latin was often influential through French. In other words, it gave the words to French, which then Frenchified them and handed them on.
Yep.
But there's a lot of direct words from Latin. For example, the ability and ibility ones, you know, drinkability and whatever, thinkability. The ability ones come from French and the ibility ones come from Latin as a rule.
Mm.
Obviously, French and Latin are a member of the same Romance languages family. It was very easy because when Latin started falling to bits about 430, 40 AD, the various dialects at the end of the line, including French and Spanish and Portuguese and Italian and Romance in Switzerland, all started getting more and more different and gradually emerged as separate languages.
Very good.
Thanks all to Latin.
Yes.
We've dealt with food and cuisine last week, so
we did.
go there. But what about the military?
Yes.
Army, Navy, battle, captain, lieutenant. No one knows where the foot comes from in lieutenant, because it's French lieutenant, which means placeholder. So it's someone who is holding a rank at a certain level.
And, of course, in Australia, I think it's only a lieutenant in the Navy. Oh, no, it's only a lieutenant in the Navy. It's a lieutenant
in the Army and the Air Force.
Army and the Air Force.
Right. Mm. And in American, it's
I think they say lieutenant, Diane.
They say lieutenant, yes.
Yeah.
But the
perhaps I shouldn't take all my pronunciations from Forrest Gump, though.
That's doing right so far.
Thank you. But still.
Right, here's some more.
Yes.
Siege, latrine. You couldn't go to the loo if it weren't for the French.
Right? For the latrine.
Yeah, the latrine. Mm-hmm. And again, captain, admiral, sergeant, colonel. Mm-hmm. Colonel becomes colonel.
Yes.
Now we simplify things. So that, again, a lot of these structured things, with all of the words which came with them and the way they were organised, we could have taken them from the ancient Romans. And in some cases we did.
Yep.
The whole business about the Romans and if your soldiers weren't performing well, you took 10% of your own and slaughtered them and sent the rest into battle.
Yes.
That was.
I must admit, that'd be a bit of a motivator, wouldn't it?
It would make you try harder.
Unless you were one of the 10%.
Right.
Now that was decimated.
Fashion and clothing and style. Words like boutique.
Oh, yes.
And haute couture. And robe and satin and ensemble.
Prêt-à-porter.
Oh, yes.
Here's another one.
Which means literally ready to wear. Yeah. And the French, I'm afraid, have taken take away from us in return, or ready to go. I've heard that in France as well. So that you would not be surprised, I think, that a lot of haute couture comes from French nowadays, because it's the French houses which have set a lot of the standards and made the, I don't know, set the baseline for all sorts of
very stylish people.
Particularly women, but not only.
Mm.
Arts and literature and music and culture, the word genre, which no one can pronounce, it's a French word meaning species or type of something, you know, so the poetry or prose or whatever. But literally portrait, literature, theatre. Or theatre in America.
Theatre.
Yeah, melody and harmony. Author, music itself, dance, paint, canvas, stage, melody, harmony, and sculpture are all
ballet.
French. And in America, the ballet.
It was ballet,
yes,
is it?
The French have had a special influence in America because words in French have a light emphasis on the last syllable. Amicablement, right? Now, it's not like ours. We got a very strong medicine. I'm doing medicine. Medicine or médecin in French. Much lighter. Now, the French had a big influence in the south of the U.S., Louisiana and places. But also they've left in American English this habit of having the stress on the last syllable with two syllable words borrowed from French. So baton, beret, perfume. I think I've told you.
Well, we would say perfume.
I think we would, perfume. Except that I went to one of our upmarket shops in town here a few years ago and asked them which it was, perfume or perfume. And it said, sir, if you want to spend more than $400, it's perfume. I got the message.
Otherwise, it's just a spray.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Religious things. Again, a lot of those, the early words came from Latin because Britain was...
Yes.
Christianized by St. Augustine, and a lot of the early religious words were Latin. But a bit later, saint and abbot and priest and clergy and cloister and vicar and parish and friar and diocese all came to us from French. So it'd be very difficult for the church to organize itself without this slab of French words, just setting things where they are. Policy and diplomacy, embassy and attaché, which you probably ought to write with an E acute at the end. Envoy.
Yep.
Diplomacy itself, passport, treaty, alliance and protocol. State and treasury and plebiscite and coup d'etat.
Oh, coup d'etat.
Which means...
Great name for a band.
Oh, yeah.
Coup d'etat.
Regime, sovereignty, bureaucracy and finance. And I've not done yet. There are more. Can I give you, though, heraldry?
Please do.
Heraldry is wonderful. Do you have a coat of arms?
The Higgins family does, and ours is it's a tower with what looks like little black droplets that I won't describe what they look like, but the little black droplets. But because we used to pour boiling tar on our enemies.
Oh, how friendly.
Yes, I know, right?
Right. Well, indeed. All of that will be described. And you have to send your design to the College of Heralds, which I believe is in London.
Yes.
But they then describe it in a particular language which is taken from Norman French. So this is one which is a shield divided vertically, one half blue, one half red, with a chevron across the centre of the shield, with bits on either side which are white, and with acorns which have stalks, and the leaves are gold.
Mm.
Which, in the description of the College of Heralds, goes like this. Per pale, and they're azure and gules.
Mm.
Right? Now there's blue and red. A chevron or, a chevron in gold, and remember, or being the adjective comes afterwards, so you know it's French, right?
Yep.
Cotized argent. Now, cotized is cut into sides. Cot is French word for side. Argent, which is white or silver, between three acorns slipped, meaning they have stalks, and leaved, with leaves, or gold again.
Mm.
And this is the way your coat of arms must be described in order to be legal and acceptable.
So there's an order of how it is to be described.
Yes, and special words which come directly from Norman French. And actually, it sounds rather nice.
It does, doesn't it?
But it's pretty obscure to those who don't know the words.
Mm. But sometimes jobs are like that, or particular fields of work are like that. The language is designed to keep out outsiders, or it's specific to that particular job.
Yes. And you can imagine the Australian coat of arms with a kangaroo and an emu. Mm. That would have to be cotized, in other words, driven into two sides with a kangaroo. We wouldn't be gules or argent or anything else, sort of brown colour, and I'm not quite sure brown colour is in heraldic French.
Interesting to see how it was described.
I will work it out for next
week. Because he had the emu facing exactly the other way, but forward.
Oh, there's another one I've just thought of. The motto, I think it's of the Order of the Garter, Ogni soit qui mal y pense, shame to him who thinks evil of it.
Oh.
And that, again, is Norman French.
Very nice.
So this stuff is all the way through our language. I mean, I don't often say that, but it is there nonetheless.
It is.
And
it's fascinating, though. What about politics, diplomacy?
Politics, yes. Education, the word education, well, ultimately from Latin, but through French.
Yep.
And, of course, we have semesters and things, which came in that case, I think, from Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the French, it was a language, you know, particularly in the 18th century, Beau Brummel and so on.
Mm.
You weren't anybody if you didn't know how to speak elegant French. And a lot of them, they looked across the channel for patterns of behaviour, of dress, and a lot of literature as well. And then, of course, Shakespeare came along and did Shakespeare's thing and was emphatically and happily English. But that's just the start of a very big and complicated story. And I love it because I'm very fond of French. And it gives us, and English is the mongrel language, but we've made all of these words our own, you know, and a lot of people don't know they're from French, but nonetheless use them entirely correctly, consistently in English, as part of what English is now the biggest language it's ever been.
Mm. So we have been influenced, obviously, as we've described tonight, as you've described Raleigh Sussex, by French, by Latin, by German. There's a whole lot of words a whole lot of different languages now becoming part of English. But what's the pushback into those languages from English and maybe new technologies or whatever it is that English is now supplying?
Absolutely massive. 10% of modern Japanese vocabulary is from American English.
Ooh.
And that's not just basketball and baseball and television and so on. Television is terebi in Japanese. But all languages which have anything to do with English either get overwhelmed or, like the Icelanders, are trying desperately to keep out foreign words and to use their own words to build new compounds and things to cover technological terms. And, for example, in French, when the Sony Walkman came along, the French said, "We are not going to have a Walkman. It is not French."
Mm-hmm.
And they looked around and found a verb balader, which means to go for a stroll. So it became a sonné baladeur, a stroller.
Kind of like that better, I think.
It's actually rather nice.
It is rather nice. Is that quest, though, to keep as much of your own language as possible, is that pushing against the tide?
Yes.
Because language evolves no matter which language it is.
And the people who are making the greatest influence on change are the younger generation.
Mm.
And the younger generation in France not only knows English but uses it a lot. And everywhere you go in Europe nowadays, you can find people who will talk English. It was not like that 20 years ago.
Mm.
Even the French, who resisted longest. They have a thing called the French Academy, the Académie Française. And there are 40 people whose job it is to preserve the purity of the French language. And I'm afraid they're losing.
Mm.
Because words like weekend and poule verte and poule and blue jean are now standard French, just the way in which the French words came part of English.
Is it also because of the influence of the internet and being able to speak to anyone around the world? Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, English will get you there.
It began about 1910-20, mm-hmm. Particularly with American media, Hollywood.
Yes.
Which was very much
movies.
An American
mm-hmm.
export. And then we get the speaking films, and gradually the influence, particularly after the war, Britain was exhausted and America just stepped into any vacant slot, which whether it was diplomatic or geopolitical or military or cultural or economic. And there were American stuff was going on, and people started to have to assimilate to what the American model was doing. And nowadays, because of the internet, it's accelerated enormously. I think it's the majority of the 10 million most visited websites, the majority of them are in English.
Yes.
And if you are, say, a Swedish dentist and you want your research to be read, you write in English.
Mm. Professor Rowley, that's fascinating discussion we've had tonight. Thank you so much.
I have a last word.
Please.
George W. Bush, who actually did a lot of good things,
mm-hmm.
but he was not a linguist. Well, sorry, he spoke quite good Spanish.
Oh, nice.
Which I take my hat off to.
Mm-hmm.
But he once said, the thing that's wrong with the French is that they don't have a word for entrepreneur.
Oh, bless. Indeed. And somebody wanted me to play a little bit of Greg Champion singing the French song.
Pâté, escargot, soupe du jour, cordon bleu, chic, coiffure, fait accompli, maison.
Very good. I'm sure that goes on.
It does. And the French take off the English and the English take off the French. And they've been having a go at each other for hundreds of years. But are now getting on rather well.
They are. Rolly Sussex, thank you. We'll talk again next week.
I'll be here.
The ABC's Word Wizard. The Lord of Language. Professor Rolly Sussex with A Word in Your Ear.